hate this here with all the ice on in the booth. At the gate outside, when they pull up, they give me loose.
It's yeah, really, it's unbelievable.
Boys, he's already lazy, man. Now he's sick.
Valero is, you know, he's muscling through today's show after missing 3 out of 5 shows last week. I mean, honestly. I mean, Devontae Parker looks at you and says, that guy's got a problem. Devontae Parker's like, can't that guy stay healthy, man?
Producer, Pringle producer. Goodness.
Devontae producer.
Look at you.
You set me up to fail, man.
I set you up to fail. You're talking
you
to Juan and Mara, or you're talking to me?
Arguing with me just so you, so I couldn't get John Michaels on the phone.
I know, but how did I know that John Michaels was supposed to be on the line and you didn't? You're producing the show.
Because you were arguing me, so I was distracted.
I was arguing you.
Arguing me.
I was arguing you.
Arguing with me.
We'll go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. John Michaels, he is the midday host on 92.9 The Game in Atlanta. I always feel the need to give a very long explanation on who he is, because you may not know him. But people, when I tweeted out Saturday, I guess we'll have John Michaels on again Monday. There were a ton of people retweeting. What time? What time? He's going to speak the gospel. He's bringing the fire. He is a diehard Miami Hurricanes fan. Grew up down here. He's got the Canes tattooed on his body. He's got season tickets. Lives in Atlanta. Has season tickets at Hard Rock Stadium. And he is not a fan of Mark Richt. He watched him at UGA for years. He works in Atlanta. He's worked in Atlanta for years, and he's not a fan of Mark Richt.
And that's unique because when he came here, all the Canes fans were excited, but I think John knew so much about Mark Richt that he had a little...
He was one of those guys that said, temper your excitement because I've been watching this guy a long time. And so here he is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. John Michaels, 92.9 The Game in Atlanta. Go ahead, John. The floor is yours.
Well, first off, I want to say thank you to all the Canes fans who traveled up here to beautiful downtown Atlanta on Friday and Saturday. Got to see my boy Cutler Ridge Laz. I don't get to see him.
Yeah, he was out there representing.
Him and his wife, Maureen. I had a gentleman named Jason, him and his girl, Angie, and I'm sitting at the bar talking to JD. He goes, you're the guy that's on Hockman and Crowder. I go, yes, I am. And I said, I told you guys if I ran into a fan that recognized me, I gave him my pit tickets. I literally emailed him right there. Here's my tickets. You can have them. He was super excited. So excited on Saturday, he actually came and hung out with me and some of my boys at a tailgate. And we had a couple of cocktails and had a really good time. So shout out to QAM and you guys.
And then after the game, he emailed you the tickets back.
He actually sold them on StubHub, but he had to pay somebody to buy them on StubHub.
So your thoughts after watching Saturday's game?
We just lost to Lewis and Arnold from Remember the Nerds Part 1. Are you kidding me? There is not a high school in South Florida that would run that pop gun offense that Paul Johnson calls his triple option or whatever that crap is. That was one of the most lethargic Miami performances I've seen since Al Golden, the master of the lethargic Miami performance. I hadn't left a Miami game early. Mind you, I sat in Norman, Oklahoma when we lost 51-17 or 51-14 when Randy Shannon trotted out Kirby Freeman and Kyle Wright. I sat to the end of that game. The end of the third quarter in Atlanta, my own city, I looked at my kids and I go, you guys cold? They go, yeah, it's freezing, Dad. I said, it's time to go home because nothing good is going to come of this. Because by that time, all the well-endowed, people that were sitting in their grandfather's box at Bobby Dodd Stadium were hanging over the balcony, throwing the U down, talking trash, telling us to go back to Cuba. And I laugh. I said, I'm a white guy. I don't really need to go back to Cuba, although I would love to visit Cuba nonetheless. I took my kids and I left at the end of the third quarter. And I'm ashamed of myself for leaving early. But then when I watched the fourth quarter and we had the slowest two-minute drive in the history of college football, I said, I am glad I was at home before the game was over. So it was a terrible performance, but I kind of think we all knew that was coming from Mark Richt.
Well, did we?
Yes. Did you not see it coming? Yeah, Georgia Tech favored. I get it. He went back to Nkosi Perry. He still called the same 3 stupid plays. Hey, it's 3rd and 8. We're going to run all verts. Nevertheless, crossing routes, or maybe use some of the motion that all these other innovative offensive coordinators use. We're just going to run all verticals with an offensive line that, quite frankly, hasn't blocked in about 7 years, maybe even longer than that. Let's let N'Kosi Perry stand back there. Georgia Tech is dreadful on defense. Like in Atlanta, the 8 or 9 fans that actually care about Georgia Tech, and that might be all of them, they're so ticked off. They want Paul Johnson fired. They were texting me mad that Miami let Paul Johnson win a game because it makes them bowl eligible, and they're probably going to be stuck with him for another couple of years.
John, what's going on with the defense, man? The offense is what it is. We've talked about it for a couple weeks, but this defense is upsetting me because I thought they were going to be the unit to hold this team together.
They've held them together. Without them, they'd be losing 45-14. We had Mark D'Onofrio, they'd be terrible. Georgia Tech ran for 108 yards below their season average. And if Jeff Thomas and DJ Dallas don't lay the ball on the ground, I'm not sure Georgia Tech scores 21 to beat Miami. And obviously they get 27 because of that. Your one mistake, well, you had two the other day. You had Gerald Willis jump off sides on a 3rd-and-8 where Tech was going to have to throw it and you were going to get off the field and still be up 7-0. The other mistake was, and I couldn't tell because it was on the other end of the field for me, was that Bandy who ran behind the receiver on that post route that they end up catching a touchdown?
Yeah.
Those were your two mistakes. And that was Bandy, I think, just losing where the ball was. The defense to me has played okay, but Channing, you played on teams. You know how this goes. Your offense is this bad. You can only do so much before human nature sets in and the frustration starts. And I'm seeing that with guys. It's almost like they're looking for the chain to get the spark that maybe gives their offense a short field. You got such a horrible punt the other day. It hits off somebody's rear end, and that sets you up on the short field. So I think the defense the last 4 weeks has been pressing a little bit, really since the Boston College game, trying to do too many special plays instead of just doing their assignment. Still doing well, but they're not good enough to win football games by themselves.
John Michaels from 92.9 The Game in Atlanta is with us. Where do you stand on Mark Richt as the head coach of the Miami Hurricanes?
He's got to go. I know the Band-Aid right now will be, let's see if he can change the offensive coordinator and most of the offensive staff. I heard him on Joe Rose this morning, basically tripling, quadrupling, 100 times down that he hasn't even given a thought to giving up play calling. Is it going to be better? I mean, you see the Bengals, and I'll use the Bengals of the NFL as an example. They fired Van Peasey earlier this year. Now Terrell Austin is being the scapegoat as the defensive coordinator. He got fired after giving up 51 yesterday to the New Orleans Saints. Does anybody think it's miraculously going to be better under Marvin Lewis? No, you don't. You kind of see what the track record is. Mark Richt's a great guy, and I know I have to preface every time I talk bad about him with that comment so all the Richt supporters don't get upset. Great dude. He is who he is as a head coach, and it's never going to be better. He's not miraculously next year going to be Nick Saban. He's not going to be Dabo Sweeney. The difference, and I've seen a lot of people make this correlation with Dabo Sweeney, they go, oh, it took Dabo 4 or 5 years to win. Dabo was a wide receiver coach before he got a head coaching job. Clemson was his first head coaching job, and I think he got the job because he was on the staff and he was the easiest guy to elevate. And it took them losing 77-8 or whatever it was in the Orange Bowl against West Virginia where he goes, I need to go get Brent Venables. I got to have Chad Morris. I need coordinators who are going to take this program to the next level. And it happened. Mark Richt is an old dog, and you can't teach an old dog new tricks. He might go get a new offensive coordinator. Does anybody really think Mark Richt's just going to go, you know what, I am going to be the CEO. I'm going to be Bobby Bowden, and I'm going to sit in the tower, and I'm going to be happy to let everybody else do this. Mark came to Miami because they gave him the chance to call plays. He wants to do that. He loves doing that. And I don't think any Band-Aid at this point is going to make a difference. 8 or 9, maybe you'll have that special 10 or 11 win season. Once every 8 or 9 years, you're never going to be back in the national championship hunt with Mark Richt as your coach.
So you are of the firm belief Mark Richt needs to be fired.
I would fire him as soon as the Pitt game ends, because with the way this season is going, you're going to finish 5-7 and not make a bowl game. You guys talked to me in August. I thought this was an 11-1 football team that would lose to Clemson in the ACC title game. When they got through Florida State, I go, all right, you've got the dregs of the ACC Coastal in front of you. You should not lose another game, and he's found a way to botch it up. Yes, it is time to make a change. I know it would be another change after Al Golden. Didn't we say this with Al Golden about midway through year 4? All right, this guy's got to go, and we had to drag it out a whole nother season before finally a 58-0 loss took him out of the equation. Miami needs somebody young, innovative, or Butch Davis. That's it. Miami, and Hawk, you went there. Miami was the innovator of college football for 25 years. You know what we are now? We're a boring-ass football team that if we didn't have the turnover chain a year ago, I'm not sure that everybody would have been back on the bandwagon.
But, John, I got a curveball for you, man, because we've talked about it. We've talked to you a couple weeks now. What Mark Richt did with Aaron Murray and David Green and DJ Shockley, both are our homeboys. Matt Stafford, now there is a confirmation that Kelly Bryant is going to visit the Hurricanes as a transfer, a graduate transfer, November 24th, when the Hurricanes host Pittsburgh. Now, what if Kelly Bryant coming to UM has to do with Mark Richt's thing? Would that change your mind?
No. I was on Twitter maybe a week ago when Kelly Bryant was – that rumor was kind of out there, Channing. What is Kelly Bryant? Kelly Bryant, yeah, it was great. You were 16-2 at Clemson. You lost in the playoffs last year because he couldn't throw the football. He was beaten out by a true freshman. And granted, Trevor Lawrence is a special, special kid. And Kelly Bryant would make Miami better in the interim, no doubt. Is he better than Rozier? Absolutely. Is he better than Nkosi Perry right now? Absolutely. You would have been 10-2 this year. You probably still would have lost to LSU. You probably would have lost another game because that's the Mark Richt way. And then, it's a one-year Band-Aid. So what if Kelly Bryant goes, hey, I want to come in? He's only coming in if you're guaranteeing that he's going to be the starter for the year. Now you have a redshirt freshman in Perry and a true freshman in Williams that are going to look around and go, wait a second, this was our turn to be the starting quarterback at Miami, and you brought in a grad transfer? If I'm those kids, I go, you know what, I'll sit out the year because I'm not going to be starting anyway, and I'm finding another place to play. That's another Band-Aid on a spot that you don't need to take it. Get your lumps right now. Let Perry, let Williams learn how to play. And if Mark Richt's going to tie himself right now to a grad transfer, and let's not forget, Kelly Bryant ran out of Clemson because he wasn't given the job. I don't need that dude as my starting quarterback. You're good. Go to Murray State. Go to Davidson. Go somewhere there and play football. Go to Ole Miss or Mississippi State. They could use a guy. I don't want you to be the guy at Miami. I need a guy that wants to come in and work his ass off to be quarterback, not a guy that's going to come here because he's given a job.
John Michaels from 92.9 The Game in Atlanta has set the text machine on fire. Here's a sampling. This guy is not educated. He's talking with emotions, not understanding. Richt still has a contract till 2023. Do the math. Who's going to buy him out? Ask this guy who's he going to hire to replace Richt. Followed by, I love him. This guy is the best. Followed by, John Michaels is my guy, but he's tripping with firing Mark Richt. He needs to put his pride to the side, get an OC. John Michaels speaks the truth. Hey, how do we get this guy a show down here? On and on and on. It goes on and on and on. John, I don't agree with you on firing Mark Richt. I still think that he's the right guy. I do think they need someone to call the plays, and I do think you're right. They've gone from being innovators to boring. I mean, I don't know how else to couch it, but I still believe in Mark Richt. I know it's hard to say that after this 5-5 season, but I just think it would be too early to pull the plug.
But to John's point, like, is there any way to guarantee that if he does hire an OC, John, he's not going to get like a do-boy like you're saying? Can Blake James make him go get somebody legit?
That's my fear. I mean, he went from Brian Van Gorder to Willie Martinez. I don't remember who else the defensive coordinators here in Georgia, but fans complained about the defensive coordinator spot seemingly forever at Georgia. They'd have Seymour and Stroud and all these great players, and they get like 8 sacks on the year, and you go, how the hell is this happening? And these guys go to the NFL, and they're great. Now, Mike Bobo's name has been attached. He's a current head coach at Colorado State. He was the OC under Mark Richt for about 5 or 6 years. I loved the way Bobo called games. It was a lot of I formation. It was a lot of old-school Butch Davis smash-mouth football with play-action concepts off of it. That would be a name that would be seen as a do-boy, but I think could come in and do really good things with the job if he ends up getting fired at Colorado State. And he's a guy that also had some health problems out there as well, so we don't know how that's all working out. But I'm not sure that Mark is even going to swallow his pride and Blake James can force him to hire an OC. He said it on QAM this morning. He's never given thought to taking away his own play calling. He wants to do this. When I watch the game, and I know some of the guys on all these different boards put out videos and whatnot, and we're running the same plays 3, 4, and 5 times with no motion, And Dan Orlovsky, who's on the call of the game, is literally like, Miami's not taking advantage of what they're doing. It's the same concepts over and over again. I don't know that Rick's ever going to do it. Now, I want to say this, Hawk, and I know a lot of people think I'm crazy. I am crazy. I'm nuts. I know this. I know Mark Richt is not getting fired this year. I know for a fact he will be, when they open against the University of Florida in Orlando, and Channing, we need to make sure as shows from different cities that we are there and maybe play some kind of wager on this. I'll be there. I'll be with my Miami stuff on. I'll be screaming for them to do better and win a football game. They might actually beat Florida, because I'm not sold that Florida's all that good either.
It's nice to open with a cupcake every now and then. I'm with you, John.
It is nice.
You're calling us a cupcake?
All right, it might not be the best week for me to say that. All right, whatever.
Rice Krispie treats,
went for the joke.
Either way, point being, I know for fans he's not going anywhere. And no matter what happens, I will still be there to support it. But you just lost to the Revenge of the Nerd school. Paul Johnson, there were more Miami fans at Georgia Tech than there were Georgia Tech fans, and you still lost the game. That's the frustrating part. This is the third four-game losing streak in 3 years under Mark Richt. Think
John,
about that for a second.
UGA right now with Kirby Smart. He ended up coaching me. Nick Saban brought him to the Dolphins, so I know Kirby. You flat out with all your heart can say Kirby Smart is a better football coach than Mark Richt.
1,000%. Think about it. They bounced back. They lost to LSU on the road. Georgia got blown out in that game. What have they bounced back and done? Destroyed Florida, destroyed Kentucky, pulverized Auburn. They'll be in Atlanta with a chance to go to the college football playoffs against Alabama. Georgia's one of two or three teams I think has a legit shot to beat Alabama, and it's because of Kirby Smart. He walked in and took Mark Richt's recruits and said, we're going to play this way. Their first year, they weren't very good. The second year, they look like grown men. This year, with a whole different cast, Roquan Smith and a bunch of guys from the NFL, they look like grown men. They ran for 303 yards against Auburn. Auburn never stood a chance. I wish we could have done that against a team like Georgia Tech, who will let Pitt run all over them.
So you're saying Miami lost to Lamar Luttrell and Booger.
Those guys are – no, Lamar Luttrell and Booger were way too cool to go to Georgia Tech.
And Omega Moo.
And that, what do you think about this? We learned earlier today Miami is a what, 3.5-point favorite? 3.5-point favorite over Virginia Tech. Does that strike you as odd?
Yes. Now, the only thing, Virginia Tech's been worse than Miami this year, if that's possible. They've got a lot of injuries defensively. But what do you know about Bud Foster? He is going to load up and say, Nicosi, it's on you. Travis Homer's not beating us. DJ Dallas, Cam Davis, none of these guys are beating us. We're going to go man on the outside. We're going to bring pressure. Let's see if your O-line can hold up. I am shocked being up there. We kind of got lucky it's a midday game instead of night. But I am shocked that Miami's a favorite up there. We were just underdogs to Georgia Tech. I didn't figure we'd be favorites for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I was surprised by that. That line jumped out at both of us.
Every name that John said, they said in my living room when I was a kid.
Is that true?
Mike Bobo came to see me. Brian Van Gorder, Rodney Garner. I knew all. Every one of them said in my living room.
Including Mark Richt.
Including Mark Richt.
And Lamar Luttrell.
You can go to hell. And Omega Moo.
You think Lamar Luttrell slept over?
Hey, bunk beds, man. And I was on the bottom.
We'll see you, John.
All right, guys.
John Michaels, 92.9 The Game in Atlanta. He brings it strong. He fires up the Canes fan base both ways. And we'll go ahead and open the phone lines, 305-567-0560 and 954-567-0560. Take your calls next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.